Good morning. Isn't the sunshine just wonderful to see? I'm always so blessed because, I know I've shared it with you before, but I always, on Tuesday mornings, if it's raining out, I just say a little prayer for especially the young moms, just knowing all that you have to go through just to get here, let alone have to be running out in the rain and gathering your diaper bags and all that kind of stuff. And so it just, I mean, I think all of us are cheered by the sunshine, but especially for me on Tuesday mornings, it makes me so happy for each one of you. Well, this morning we have a special treat. If you're one who watches your calendar, like some I know, you would be aware that there must be a testimony coming pretty soon. And the person we're going to have this morning is back by popular demand. She was actually going to share last week. And then last week, she ended up with no voice. And so I was like, all right. Then on Friday, I was without a voice. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what's going to happen? And even up to yesterday, my voice was as crackly as could be, and it's so much better this morning. I can hardly even believe it. So I'm thanking the Lord for that. But either way, as long as she didn't lose her voice again, she was on the schedule for today. And I know we're going to be blessed. We were so blessed with her first part of her story. And yet I had several women in the weeks that followed saying how much they loved what Artie shared, but then said, but what about Bill? What about her husband? We never heard anything about him. Now, if you were here, you know that Artie came from a family of 12 kids. And if you didn't get to hear her testimony, I encourage you to go online and listen to it. Because the point is, her time of just sharing how each one of those 12 kids came to the Lord, and including, well, I'm not even going to tell you the end of the story because that's real special. If you haven't heard it, you need to hear it. But I think even Artie felt in her heart there needed to be another time. She didn't ask for it, but soon as I asked her, she immediately nodded yes, and she just knew that this was a part of her life that she needed to share. So would you welcome Artie Osborne?
Okay, I know what you're thinking. She's back. Okay, well, I'm thinking the same thing, and I'm just as nervous as I was last time. Okay, when Judy asked me to finish the story, I was delighted. She had asked me before to share my testimony, and I said, I just can't do that. And you know, I think for all of us, we think it's all about, we don't want people to think that it's all about us. And the Lord just said, you know what, it isn't about you at all. It is really what I have done in your life personally. And as Judy said earlier, I have 11 brothers and sisters, and we all did get saved and come to Christ. And it's just a lovely, lovely, lovely testimony that God has given to our family. And my dad got saved too. But at any rate, that's just kind of a little bit of a recap of where we were last time, okay? So now we kind of fast forward. So I moved to Oregon when I was 21. I was semi-engaged to this guy back in North Dakota. But I was pretty sure I didn't love him. But honestly, I didn't know that I'd ever seen love. You know, my parents were, it was a tough deal. My dad was an alcoholic, so on and so forth. And I just didn't know what love really was. I knew my mom loved me, but there were all just questions and things like that, okay? And so when I met Bill, my husband, we were at a party. We were not saved. We were at a party, and it was a nice party. And so that was kind of the party. Well, a year and a half later, he calls me up. And he goes, well, I don't know if you remember me or not, but, you know, my name is Bill Osborne. And we met at a party a year and a half ago, and I said, look, I don't know who you are. I'm sorry, I don't remember you. I do not know who you are. So, no, I will not go to dinner with you. You know, that's back in the early 70s, okay? And so he said, no, 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 don't hang up. Your sister will remember me. You ask your sister. Your sister's name's Shirley, right? And I go, yes, it is. So long story short, we got that taken care of. And so he came and picked me up. And I thought, well, when I see him, I'll just know him. I mean, surely I can't. I had no clue. He came to the door, and I'm looking at him like, I've never seen him in my life, right? So anyway, we dated for about a year and a half. And every 3 months, he would ask me to marry him. And I'd say, oh, no, I don't want to get married. This is fine. This is great. He'd take me out to dinner, and another 3 months would go by, and he'd ask me to marry him again. I said, oh, no, I don't want to get married. And this would go on for like a year and a half. And he goes, well, but you love me, right? And I said, oh, sure, sure, sure. And he always would tell me how much he loved me, so on and so forth. Well, you know, we weren't, like I said, you know, we weren't believers. And finally, he stopped asking. And it gave me some time to kind of consider, wow, he is a great guy. He was kind. He was generous. He was just anything you could ever possibly want in a husband. And he was handsome, and he was really, really quirky, but in a really good way, quirky, okay? So we got married in 1974, and, you know, things were good. Life was good, but, you know, I think there's just something missing here. I mean, I've got all of this wonderful husband. We just bought this beautiful home with an acre of property, and, you know, to the world, you know, wow, you pretty much have it all, right? But, you know, I just felt the best way to say it is just absolutely incomplete. And I couldn't get a handle on it. I just could not understand what that was. And so I would go talk to a couple of priests and say, you know, this is how I'm feeling. I love my husband. My marriage is good, but something's not right. And, of course, sadly, they did not have an answer for me. They just basically said, you know, you just need to continue to go to church and listen to these sermons and everything will be fine. I concluded then that if this is all there is, that's what I finally concluded. And honestly, growing up even in a large family with religion, I wasn't convinced there was a God. I'd never seen him do anything. All I seen was the chaos in my own family. But I kind of concluded, you know, if there is a God, I'm good. Because I go to church, and I'm good. I don't do bad things, everything. And if there's not, well, then I've just wasted a lot of time, you know, in church and so on and so forth. So kind of life went on. And later on, I was at a job, and the women's movement was pretty prevalent at that point. And I kind of bought into that. Because people would encourage me. They'd say, yeah, you can do it. So I got promoted at work, and I was making more money than Bill. And I was about as miserable as they get. And I absolutely could not, I didn't know why. So I came home one day, and I said, you know, Bill, I think I'm going to quit my job. And Bill looked at me, and he said, you know, Artie, I think that's a really good idea. Yeah. It was getting to that point where, wow, I'm okay. You know, just pride, let's just call it what it is, right? But I'm going to share with you a verse that the Lord gave me, of course, after I got saved. But this described my condition. It's in Jeremiah 2:13, and he says, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." And that was me. And that is a lot of people today. We keep pouring ourselves, we keep filling ourselves up with the things of the world, looking for just something that we're finally going to be satisfied with. And it's not going to happen. So we go to what Jesus says in the Samaritan woman in John 4:11-14, and I think that's the New Testament. I'm not. I have these markers here. Okay, yeah, it is the New Testament. John 4:11-14, and so with that, with the broken cisterns that don't hold water. So then Jesus talks to the woman at the well, and basically she says, "Give me a drink." you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And so then she says, where then do you get this living water? And she goes on and says, you're no greater than our father Jacob. And then Jesus answered and said, everyone who drinks from this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. And you know, honestly, oh, I better tell you when I got saved. So this is after I became a Christian. But those things describe my condition. I seemingly have everything, but I had nothing. Because I'm still really not that happy. I'm happy as the world can be, but there is not a joy, that deep-seated joy that we all just long for. So anyway, then my brother came for a visit. You know, I quit my job. I was not working at all. And my brother came for a visit. He'd been a Christian 4 months. I shared that last time. He came, and I said to my husband, Bill, I said, okay, Bill, here's the deal. This is what we do. Now, he's coming, he's in a cult, and he's got this big bumper sticker that says, Christ is the answer. We'll have him back into the driveway so that our friends, you know, won't see who's at our house. And this is how we'll handle it. And we'll just be really nice to him, and we'll listen to him, and then he'll be on his way. And Bill said, good plan. I said, great, that's how we'll handle it. So my brother walks in the door, and my brother's 10 years younger than me. So I don't really know him. I've been gone for a long time. I'm 31 now. My brother's 21. So I've been gone for years, 10 years when he was a kid, right? So I don't really know him, but I love him to pieces because he's just a funny guy, right? And he walks in our house, and I kid you not, he walked in my house, and it's like he started preaching Christ. How you doing? Fine, thank you. And he immediately preached Christ. And we were absolutely spellbound. We had never heard this stuff before. We just sat there and listened and listened. He's a brand new believer, but the Lord had given him a gift of going through the scriptures and remembering things and basically evangelism. So we just couldn't get enough. But he never ever told us what we had to do. We just couldn't get it. So we know we're listening and we're listening and finally one day, I don't have a job, of course, because I'd quit my job, and that was, of course, the Lord. And he says this to me. He, in a sentence, this is like I'm talking to you right now, this is what he says. He's telling me this story, and he says, you know, Artie, and this is out of Matthew 7, 21 and 23, and this is what he says. Not everyone who says to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Verse 23 says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who do lawlessness. And that verse just pierced me to my heart. I said, oh my gosh, that is me. I don't know him. I've been going to church all my life. I've kept the sacraments. I have done everything that the church told me to do, and I don't know him. And I'm like, oh my gosh, well now I gotta do something about that. So we talked some more, and Les had poison oak in a very, very bad way, and so he went back upstairs to take a nap, and I thought, I don't know what to do with this. So I went upstairs to my bedroom, and I knelt down for the first time in, I don't even know when, okay. I knelt down and I was gonna pray. And my first thought, and this is amazing, the Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray. I'm thinking, but I've been praying all my life. I've said the rosary, I've done all these things, okay, but I don't know how to pray, and I just started sobbing. I said, you know, God, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do, but I know that I'm that person. I know that that's me. And Lord, what am I supposed to do? And so I kept telling the Lord, I'm sorry for all the things I've done, but I really didn't know what I'd done. So he says, still, I just didn't realize how wretched and naked I was. And I got to tell you, it is so like it was yesterday. I am kneeling there, and all of a sudden, I could have just touched him. He was that close. And you guys, I got to tell you, I got up, And I did not know how I knew all this stuff. I knew that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, that he had died and arose and paid the penalty for my sin, that I was nothing but, like Brett says, a big honking sinner, right? And I just could not believe. It was just like walking into that dark area right over there. It was like coming from there and then walking into this room. I was walking in this light that was so bright. I flew down the stairs. I flew, and I said, Les, you got to hear this. And even Les was a little like, okay. You know. I said, you know, and I just bought this album yesterday. We got to smash it. And he goes, what? I said, we got to smash that album. That's bad. That's like bad news. And, well, you'll know how bad it was when I tell you that one of the songs was, Heaven's Just a Sin Away. Okay, it was some country western thing that I had listened to. And I said, we got to smash that album. I knew that I could not even go back to the church I'd been going to all my life. But nobody told me these things. I just knew it. Well, here's the deal. So you couldn't shut me up. And I would just tell anybody who would listen to me. And I figured, you know, the reason people aren't walking in the light, they've just never heard it. So now I'm going to tell them. Well, sadly, that isn't how it goes. And I had like the one friend, maybe two. I lost them. I lost all my friends. They didn't want to hear it. I was packing my Bible. This went on for 3 years. And then now here's Bill, right? Oh, dear. Here's Bill. And I'm just preaching at Bill. And I don't know anything, though. So that means I'm saying the same things over and over and over. But he recognizes. But what really got him was when I said, well, I'm not going back to that church. And he goes, you know, what do you mean? And I said, well, I just can't go back there. That's just not where I'm supposed to go now. So the thing of it is that Bill, his family had a lumber yard and a hardware store, and their secretary was Sally Opal, and Sally Opal was a born-again believer and had witness to all of them, and they just all yada, yada, okay. So Bill said, well, and I said, so I don't really know what I should do. And he goes, well, here's the thing. I know where you can go. You can go to Stafford Baptist Church right around the corner. It's a mile away. Because I know that that's a church where you'd fit in now. And I said, wow, okay, then I'll go. So Bill went with me, and Sally Opal was there, of course, and her husband Dave, who'd come to the lumber yard and use stuff down there. And oh, that's so sweet. Can I keep it? Uh-huh. Yeah. I know Paula Manter. She's like four sugars later. So anyway, we go to Stafford Baptist. Okay, here we're good now, I think. We go to Stafford Baptist, and Pastor Dennis and Lori Angel, well, she's not the pastor, Dennis is. The Lord just knew, and they took us in, and they mentored us for 5 years. They just poured into us. We would go out every Sunday night after service for pizza, and they would just pour into us. And we loved them, and they're my best friends to this day. But at any rate, so Bill is kind of watching this whole thing, right? And every Wednesday night after Bible study, Bill would meet with Pastor Dennis. And Pastor Dennis would share the prayer of Christ with Bill, and Bill, oh yeah, and Bill would come home. He'd get his Bible, and then he'd open a beer and have a smoke and then flip through his Bible, going, oh yeah, this is good stuff. I like it, you know, this is good stuff. And I called Dennis in a panic, saying, Dennis, what are we going to do? He's not saved. What are we gonna? He said, Artie, that's not your job. You just leave that alone. I said, okay, fine. So they had this thing at Stafford called Six for Supper. And we went to one of these, and Sally and Dave Opal were the hosts. And that night, Bill struggled with, how do you be in the world but not of the world? How do you separate yourself? He said, I just can't get it. And that night, it was very, very clear to Bill. So Bill got saved that March of 1982. And I got to tell you guys, we got saved and we never looked back. It was like the lumber yard down there, Bill was putting verses on everything. There was a verse on any receipt you would get, there's a verse. On any statement that went out, there's a verse. He had the daily bread. he was just, you know, we just never looked back. And eventually I ended up working there, and I won't go into that story because I'm pretty sure I don't have time. But we dedicated our business to God, and things just did a 180 down there. And his uncle, his dad, was just furious. You know, the verses, they were all pretty furious, okay. Bill asked them to come to his baptism. They said, you know what, you've been baptized. And it was a tough time, and for myself too. You know, when Jesus says, I came to separate, you know, and so there are these divisions now in families where you're saved, they're not, and there's going to be a division, right? But Bill took an amazing stand on his own, just like my sister did years and years ago. And so we've dedicated Jesus to God, and there was a lot of things that happened during that time. Home Depot moved up the road a mile away, our bridge went down, and Bill got cancer. So all during that time, he was going to chemo, but we were at the dead end of a road. There was just so many forces, it seemed. But you know, we knew that God knew how long we needed to be there. And we had prayed that way. We had prayed that, you know what, God, when we're done here, when it's time to go, we don't want to run this thing into the ground. It's a 100-year-old business. Let us know when that time is. Well, of course, the answer came with Bill's cancer. Okay. But what I loved about, we got that word in 2001. Pretty much our lives changed forever, okay. He was diagnosed with cancer, actually two cancers. He used to say he got two for the price of one. And I said, you know, that's good, Bill. He had multiple myeloma, and there are those here that know what that is, and prostate cancer. So we left that doctor's office that day, and we stood outside and looked at each other, and we were so stunned, and we just held each other and cried. And Bill looked up, and I'll never forget this. Bill looked up at me, and he said, you know what, Artie, why not us? That's what he said. He didn't say, you know, man, what the heck's going on? He just looked at me and he said, you know what, Artie, why not us? And I agreed. I said, you know what, Bill, you're right. Why not us? Man, if you're going to choose us and have Bill be that testimony, we're ready to go. We're willing and ready to go. So that same year that Bill was diagnosed with cancer, which was in 01, his father was diagnosed with cancer also. None of his family is saved. And I can still see Bill at the hospital with his dad. Bill had portable chemo. Here is his dad, can't hardly breathe. And there, and Bill, before we got there, Bill said, Artie, I want you to take a, and I said, yeah, I got it. Wanted me to take a little walk so he could share Christ, because his dad this time had nowhere to go, right? And so there's Bill with his portable chemo, sharing Christ with George, his dad. And I love that, because Bill just kept moving forward towards that prize that we have in Christ Jesus. And so George died that year. Bill was 6 months into his cancer, and George died in July of 2001. They treated the multiple myeloma first, because they weren't sure which one to go for first, but they treated the multiple myeloma, and they did that, and it went into remission after a year. And so then they went after the prostate cancer. But by the time they did surgery there, it was too late. It had metastasized. So I think, as some of you know, multiple myeloma, there is no real cure. There are surgeries you can do. Prostate cancer is very curable unless it metastasizes. But once it's metastasized, then hopefully you're going to heaven, right? And so I remember that night getting that word, and I was devastated. I left the hospital, and I can't even tell you the state of mind I was in. I just had hoped that perhaps it hadn't. And so I didn't know where to go or what to do. And like so many of us, and I admit I did this, I stopped at Pastor Dennis and Lori's. I thought, well, they're going to help me. They're going to make it all good, and they're going to give me some really comforting words. And I got there, and they were devastated too, because they loved Bill. And you know, even there wasn't anything they could tell me. And I left there just going, Lord, I don't know where I'm supposed to go with this. And now this is really amazing. Okay. I got home, and so I thought, well, I'm going to have to go to Christ. It's just like the verse in John where Jesus looks at Peter and John after the other disciples fall away, and they say, Jesus looked at them and said, you know, will you go too? And they say, Lord, where can we go? You have words of eternal life. And you know, I love that. So I got home, and I've shared this a number of times with people. I got home, and this is what the Lord gave me. I love this so much. It's in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. And this is what it says. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that, and I love this part, this is like circled, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I had comfort that I had never felt before in my life. I just said, it's all good. Dennis and Lori were concerned. They come by the next morning. I'm like, you got to see this. And they're just like, whoa, what happened to you? And I said, this is what God gave me. This is what he did. So, you know, I was like over the top. At any rate, that the fall of 2003, Bill's multiple myeloma came back, and there weren't a lot of options left for the chemotherapy for his prostate cancer. So Bill one night said to me, you know, Artie, and we'd prayed. We said, Lord, we want to be in your will, and we don't want to keep going if you're telling us not to. If it's time to say, Lord, we're ready. That's how we had been praying. And you know, Bill said, Artie, it's time. And it was so amazing because I said, yeah. And I knew it was. And so it was so wonderful though, because we didn't have to go, no, we're gonna do, we didn't have to do that. And we went to see his oncologist the next day, and he said, you know, Bill, there are still some chemos we can do, but I think maybe you might want to think about hospice. And Bill said, you know what, yeah, okay. We made that decision. And he was just like, I said, so he had us sign something saying that we had agreed to stop all treatment and so on and so forth. And so we had to make an appointment with the hospice, and Bill wanted to know if I could meet him at home and he'd just stay at work. He said, I'll tell you what, why don't you just meet him at home and then I'll just stay at work. And I said, well, Bill, I think they need to talk to you. I'm pretty sure you're the one that's not doing so well. But you know, he was amazing. He was positively amazing. And you know, we had people that would come, friends, relatives, that would say, you know, there's all kinds of treatments out there. You know, you could do this or all this, and, you know, but again, that verse where, Lord, where can we go? You have words of eternal life. And Bill's response to that would be, you know what? If God can heal me, there's not a question in my mind about that. And I don't have to even go to Timbuktu. I don't even have to take the Cambie Ferry. I can just stay right here in my home, and God's going to just meet me exactly where I am. And of course, the Lord did. So the morning of... One thing I have to share about Bill is when we'd made that decision, he looked at me and he said, you know, Artie, I'm struggling with the fact that God doesn't have anything left for me to do. I can't believe that there's nothing left for me to do. And I said, I don't know. I don't know, but what I do know is this. In Psalm 139, it says this, thine eyes have seen my unformed substance. In thy book they were all written, the days that were ordained for me. Was there, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious are thy thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. And you know, we looked at that and we said, you know, this is a time that God's ordained for you. And I love that so much, because honestly, on our own, we were trying to reason all this stuff out, and honestly, it doesn't work and it doesn't make any sense. But then you come over here, okay, to Isaiah 55, and this is what he says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. That is my resting place. That is my resting place. You see, God is a solid rock on which we stand. And there are things in this life that we will never understand this side of heaven, but you know what? God tells us, you know what? My ways aren't your ways. And so, but you can count on me, because I am faithful, I am true, and I am just. And whatever I do with Bill or anybody else in this world, it's right. And you can count on that. And so, you know, we left it with that. And when Bill died, the morning of December 4th, 03, the last 2 days, and we had prayed that Bill didn't have to stick around. He did not want to stick around, okay? And it was amazing. We had Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday, and Bill wasn't doing so well. On Sunday, we were going to go to church. Then he really wasn't well. On Monday, we had to use the hospice bed for the first time. And he listened to the Gospel of John all day long, and then he listened to the Gospel of John the next day. And that morning, about 9:30, he went to be with the Lord. It was that fast. And the really sweet thing about it, you guys, is that Pastor Dennis had come over, and Lori. And by the time they got into the room, Bill was already gone, but we all, and my sisters were there. And Bill had just this little smile on his face. Dennis goes, "Is that a smile?" My sister goes, "Is he smiling?" And we just like, "Well, I don't know. He's got the last laugh. He's going up, you know." And I'll be honest, it was very bittersweet, very, very bittersweet. There was just great sorrow, but unimaginable joy, because I knew that Bill was secure in Christ, and that he was going to a place that he would never want to come back, because that's what God has promised us, okay? And so, in conclusion, I want to go to John again over here. Is that New Testament? Okay, got it. John 14, 1 through 6, and this is actually the verse that is on Bill's headstone, if you will. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. And then Thomas said, Lord, do we know where you are going? How do we know? How do we know the way? And then Jesus says this. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. And at Bill's memorial, I stood up and said, how do we go on? How do we go on with someone that you've spent your life with and that you love so much? And you know, here's the answer. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. And he has proven it over and over and over. So the Lord has blessed me immensely. I think I will miss Bill forever, but I know where he's at. I know where he's at. And you know, we all know whom we have believed. And the Lord, he that began that work in us, he is the one who will see it finished to that last day. So we don't have to be sad. That's the bottom line here, okay? Yes, it's a sorrowing thing when someone that we love passes. I'm not going to make anything about that. But you know what? the joy of the Lord far, it just takes the rest of that away, because there is just such joy, because we know that we're going to see him again someday. But not more than that, I remember when I got saved, I felt, you know what, my life has finally begun. It's like now I'm finally beginning my life, and you know what, in this much time, I'm going to see Christ, because this life's just a vapor. So, you know, I hope and pray that all the women in this room know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because there is no other treasure, there is no greater joy than knowing him and loving him, and again, having that hope of heaven, then we all be secure in Christ. So thank you for listening, and I promise I won't be back. Yeah. Thank you. I'd like to pray now, if we could. God, you are more than we ever could even possibly imagine. And we thank you so much, God, that you have chosen us. Lord, that you have brought us out of darkness. And Lord, we have seen a great light. And God, the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will see you face to face. And there's a song that goes, when we see him, all of our fears and troubles, Lord, will just go away. And when we see you, Lord, we will be like you. And all the hopes and dreams, Lord, that we have had will be found with one look upon your face. So God, thank you for the privilege of knowing you. Thank you for the privilege of even having a testimony, Lord, to share. And God, I pray that each person here, again, Lord, if they are saved, that they might be encouraged to press on towards that prize that we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, if there is someone here who is not saved, to really consider the Lord Jesus Christ and what he wants for you. And he wants joy and peace, and a life, Lord, of just happiness for you and that hope of heaven. So again, God, thank you, in Christ's name, amen.